Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Mulsey, more picks. Last week we were so bad, you could have bet against the three of us and made a ton of money. So listen up, hear our picks, and then do the opposite. If last week was a harbinger of things to come, it's going to be sure money to go the other way against us this year. Next game?
Thank you, Pony. I'm glad you asked. The New York Jets, with that loser fireman Ed, travel to Cleveland to take on the Browns. Browns, a 6.5-point favorite.
Love the Jets in this spot.
Knew you'd say that.
I think it's the two worst starting quarterbacks going in the NFL right now, Flacco and Brissett. I don't think there's a discernible difference between the two. Brissett averaged 4 yards a throw. That was much worse than Trubisky. If you think the Steelers' offense is conservative, this is ultra conservative in Cleveland. And plus, the Jets stopped the run last week. I think it's too big of a spread. I'm going to take New York. Malzi.
I know that the Jets stopped the run last week from a very sort of gimmicky run team where the quarterback's running a lot. The Browns let the Panthers back in that game. Carolina played about 1.5 just awful quarters, and then they brought the goods, and they were winning, and then Cade York, we know how that game ended. Having said that, I actually like the Browns in this game, even with that pretty big number and even with Brissett as their quarterback. I think the Jets are really terrible. Flacco's thrown more touchdowns in his career against the Browns than any other team, but that's the Baltimore Flacco. This version of Joe Flacco's nothing. And the Jets are nothing on offense. I actually think the Browns ground and pound them and win like an ugly, I'm talking like 20-ish to 10 game here, and cover.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Every Thursday, we get to talk to our Steelers quarterback guru. He's the third best quarterback in team history. He's the only quarterback... only Steelers quarterback post Terry Bradshaw to receive MVP votes. Ben never received an MVP vote, Malzi.
I knew that. I knew that little trivia nugget.
Cordell did back in 01, and he's back with us. Cordell Stewart slash here on 93.7 The Fan. Cordell, give us a grade on Mitch Trubisky. What did you think of his first game?
I thought it was as expected. I didn't expect much, honestly. You got to remember... the preseason has been shortened because now you only have 3 games, and the question becomes how many real reps did the first team get together? And that's across the National Football League for all players.
Mm-hmm.
there's only a few teams that really played good football, but even the Buffalo Bills had three turnovers in the first quarter, let alone two in the red.
Cordell Burrow didn't take a single snap in the preseason for Cincinnati,
there
not one.
There you go. And it looked like it too, didn't it?
Yeah. Their whole first team didn't, and it looked like it.
Yeah, their offensive line didn't play together either.
Right. So while we're adding one more game to the season, I think you see a lot of teams not actually clicking on all cylinders. And I think it applies for Mitchell Trubisky as well when it comes to, I think, trying to figure out what does it really look like with him being the starting quarterback when he's nice and primed and oiled up, if you will, in the sense of knowing where he needs to go with the football, making the right checks, the right reads. Not saying he didn't do a good job, but you could tell it was making it happen as we go.
So what did you like about him? If you could give him some positive feedback, Cordell, to pump him up a little bit, what kind of good stuff would you say about Trubisky's first game?
He didn't turn the ball over.
Yep.
He didn't turn the ball over. And that when you are a quarterback where there's a lot of question marks around you, hovering over your head, when you don't turn the football over, that gives a coach an opportunity to really coach this player with understanding what not to do, but what to understand what to do maybe a little quicker, identify it a little bit faster, pre-snap read, all those different things that we talked about with Mitchell Trubisky as far as process and everything. Now we can talk about the processing process. Right? So I think he did an adequate job, honestly, well enough to say that he is still the starting quarterback of this team. I think it's going to take a lot for him not to be. But just let him keep playing. And as the season goes on, we know what the Steelers offensively, it takes every bit of maybe the fourth or fifth or sixth game of midseason to really start seeing Steelers football come to fruition, like in the month, latter part of October, early November.
So, Cordell, your first year as the man in 97 as the starting quarterback, you guys were 7th in the league in scoring. You're actually better than the defense ranked among 30 teams. They were 11th. I have it right in front of me here. So maybe this doesn't apply as much, but one of the things that's become very clear to Andrew and to me and to a lot of Steelers fans is that their offense is going to be conservative because Mike Tomlin really believes in his defense. Hey, you just said it. They didn't turn the ball over. Tomlin says, don't screw it up. Don't turn the ball over. Our defense will handle their business. How tough is it? What's it like being a quarterback maybe when you know you've got a very good defense and that maybe the marching orders are a little more conservative? Just don't turn the ball over. Is it tough to play in that situation?
Well, I don't think Coach Tomlin or any of the coaches on the staff are saying don't turn it over and have him playing on pins and needles. I think it's more of a conversation of take care of the football, be smart with the football, and whatever we can get out of what we are actually doing on the football field, we're going to take it. But we're not trying to, you know, build Mount Rushmore in one game or in one quarter.
But wouldn't you prefer your coach to say, hey, cut it loose, Cordell, go out there and make plays, make it happen?
No. You just lost T.J. Watt, all right?
Yeah.
You just lost him. And then Najee Harris didn't have a great game because they were playing really good football because of injury. So you don't want to put yourself in a pickle to say, you know, go out there and swing it around. The Steelers never really was that type of a team that swung it all over the field. Ben may have ad-libbed over time when he was playing the game and running laterally, you know, to make plays down the football field and did a good job getting it down the field. But holistically, that's not who the Steelers have ever been. You know, even back in the era when they had fullbacks with the late Tim Lester and John Whitman and Danny Crowder, we wasn't doing that, never. Even with Neil O'Donnell, it never happened. We end up creating a 4 and 5 wide receiver set when I came in my rookie season, but that wasn't the big deal. The thing was, play sound defense, run the football well, control the clock.
But they can't run the ball, Cordell. Let's get to that point.
Yeah, what the heck are they supposed to do?
They got half of that right, play great defense, but how about the run the ball part?
Well, I mean, if that's not who you are with a fullback, right? That's not what the Steelers are. They don't play with the lead back. That's not the game today in this era. That's not what the Steelers do. They haven't done that in a long time.
They're paying a fullback a lot of money, though. They're not using them.
Well, I mean, hey, that's the part of the game, right? I mean, somebody got to fill that spot, right? I mean, you got
to
give them.
They're paying them to do wind sprints on special teams now. That's what they're paying them to do.
Guess what? The beautiful part is when you know you'll need them is when you'll have them. And I guarantee you, let's bet. Let's put some on it, right? Let's put some on it. You think the fullback plays this week because Najee Harris not playing well, not being healthy right now? Think about that for a second. And then you have your quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky that can make plays with his feet too as well. So you're in a good space to make plays as a team. You're not in a catastrophic situation. We put Kenny Pickett in. Then what happens?
Believe it or not, we're not calling for him. Believe it or not, we're on this show, Cordell. This might surprise you. We are not Pony, especially. He's not calling for Pickett. No, because he said he had to give Mitch credit for making big plays in overtime the way he used to give Ben credit last year.
No lies told here.
And what about you? Are you giving away your fans?
Here's the funny part. I have been much more harsh on Trubisky this week for the same reasons I was harsh to Ben last year. I was frustrated for the same things. Let me ask you something about Mitch, because you just said it about his legs. Obviously, you were a guy that could make plays on the move as well.
Yes, you could, Cordell.
So you can speak to this. They did not really design to, roll him out. They didn't have him booting in this game. They didn't have him on the move outside the pocket. When you do that for a quarterback who is mobile, how does that affect your ability to make those plays? What does that do for you when he gets you, when a coach would get you on the edge and say, this is a designed rollout? How did that stress the defense?
Well, there's a plus and a minus to that, right? People sometimes anticipate that's what you're going to do. So one thing I loved about Chan Gailey and Mike Mularkey is they did not force the issue with the rollouts. Those plays, most plays that I did make with my feet were made with broken down plays, whether it be me not seeing it downfield to something with pressure coming off the edge and sliding up into the soft spot in the pocket to then being able to see that, hey, the clock is ticking. You've got to go. And to have that ability to do that helps the offensive coordinator and also the team to stay ahead of down and distance. So it's not about designing plays for the mobile quarterback. It's about allowing it to happen organically to where now once you do design it, right, you don't have guys peeling off prepared for it to happen because you just stepped up in the pocket. So guess what? That guy's not rushing upfield off the edge that fast anymore. Because he knows at any moment in time you can step up in the pocket and you can take off and scamper for about 25 yards. So the fun and the excitement is really on the offensive side of the football. You just don't want to predetermine and set yourself up for failure by calling too many bootlegs and quarterback sneaks and all that great stuff. You don't need to do it. Allow the game to happen organically to where now once you see yourself moving in the pocket, you can then Ben Roethlisberger, myself, the Kyler Murrays, the Josh Allens, the list goes on and on. Even Joe Burrow. I mean, we find him stepping up in the pocket, scrambling, getting first downs when you least expect it.
In the playoffs, he did a lot of that.
Because it wasn't called. Yep. Oh, my God. I mean, you go back to when he played at LSU, when they played Auburn, and all he needed to get was like 15 yards to get the guy inside of the field goal range to kick the field goal to help win. He ended up getting 17 because he knew it would get him a little bit closer. But that's understanding the game of football. It's just don't just design the plays because the guy is mobile. You create your offense around that, given the illusion that maybe that may happen. But here it is. He's just dropping back, three-step drop, five-step drop, play-action pass, and just make plays on the football.
All right, Cordell, so you said best thing he did, Trubisky, in game one was he didn't turn it over. If you were going to give from former number 10 to current number 10 constructive criticism, something Trubisky needs to do better against the Patriots this week, what would it be?
Continue to do what you've been doing. There's the game. Listen, I know people want to see perfect play. I know we want to see balls flying in the air. I know we want to see more touchdowns. Let me tell you guys something. Ugly wins are great wins sometimes. You know why? Because I can coach from an ugly win. But an ugly loss, I cannot coach. That's in my mind, in my psyche, I'm confused. I'm like, all this hard work, and now we're pointing out things that are really minor, but you lost the game. But if you point out things that are minor and you won by a point or a field goal overtime, that's a much better place to coach from. So if I tell Mitchell Trubisky, hey, Mitch, I need you to thread that needle a little bit tighter because the touchdown's going to make the fans and the guys on the radio talk a little bit more excitable, right? I like to use the word excitable. Look that one up. Is that a word?
Yes.
I want guys to be a little bit more excited about this thing. No. Mitch, hey. Let the game come to you. Continue to do what you're doing. We're not asking you to do too much, but take what the defense gives you. Let the game come to you. Take what the defense
And it sounds like you think he did that in the first game then, is what you're telling
us. You know he did too. You saw it.
Yeah, I'm not. I haven't been very hard on him, to be totally honest with you. I'm not just saying this because there's a number 10 fraternity, and we have to be very careful of that with
you,
Cordell.
Cordell, I mean, so here's a question, too, about Mitch, because I have been harder on him. And if I were going to criticize him, because I can't figure out if it's him, if it's Matt Canada, if it's Tomlin just is very conservative, let's button this thing up, guys.
You can try to find something, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, that part is actually true. I do have to find something to pick at every week. I'm that personality. They didn't really work the middle of the field, which is kind of what they didn't do last year with Roethlisberger. It was a lot of stuff on the edges, either deep shots, short stuff, maybe intermediate, like deep outs, right? How tough is it to get comfortable working the middle of the field if you're in a new offense as a quarterback because there are maybe more bodies flying around, more chances potentially for things to go wrong?
That's a great point. That's tough when you're a new player in the system, you know, to be able to do it. That's why I give Lamar Jackson so much credit with what he's done in Baltimore is I've seen him throw the ball across the middle of the field as a young player more than any other young player throw it because of those reasons in which you just mentioned. There's a lot of moving parts. You know, guys can drop out in a stunt where a linebacker can come inside of the end, the tackle can go inside, and all of a sudden that defensive end drops back, and you're trying to throw that crossing route, or even deep down the middle of the field, 10 to 12 yards. But it's just a lot going on. So that's kind of the spot that's kind of
– Was that the last part in your career? Was that when you felt more comfortable doing that? Was that when you knew, like, maybe there was full mastery? Hey, I – because my favorite touchdown pass of your entire career is the 90-yarder to Bobby Shaw against the Ravens, which was just like twisting a knife right under their ribs, and that was a dime right over the middle in between two defenders.
Let me tell you something. Every time we ran that play with that motion, it was always a toss to the back out of the backfield. So when that motion came down, you end up having that cornerback to come down a little bit further because he was condensing himself as a defensive player with the formation that was coming in motion down to seem as if we was getting ready to do the toss. So all of a sudden, Bobby Shaw ends up widening his route, his stem route, to make the cornerback create some space. Hines ends up running straight to Rod Woodson. Rod Woodson stayed stationary. I just threw the ball to a spot. Bobby Shaw came wide open. It was off to the races. But what you're doing is you're creating plays to look like other plays to create the illusion that you're doing one thing, but you're doing another. And if you can catch it at the right time and you can call it at the right time, it could happen just like that play. And that was one of the bigger plays of the game.
But that sounds too like what you're describing here to me. It sounds like that's a thing built over time and with more comfort and confidence. And you're telling us right now that this just has to develop with Trubisky.
There you go. Because he doesn't know. I mean, think about what we talked about last week and weeks prior leading up to his opportunity to start. All of the information that was said coming from Chicago and all of the bill of goods of what was going on in Buffalo. And the main thing I got from you guys was being able to process the information fast enough to go out and perform quicker and get in the ball. That's the thing we talked about last week, right?
Yep.
And so now you say, okay, how do we now get him comfortable if that's the case, allegedly, I like to say words like that to get it off of me, but it's just a conversation. Allegedly, that's the case.
Yep.
How do you play that player? He's your starting quarterback. You don't put him out there in the Lions' den and make him play opposite of what we heard of him. We play to that, meaning we keep it stupid simple. We allow him to create some confidence within himself by being able to create some plays, by ad-libbing, using his abilities, and then we start creating an offense. You know, we tailor an offense around his abilities and how he processes everything to where he can look comfortable. I don't think that's the problem, personally, coming out of Chicago, honestly. If you went to Chicago with bandits coming from the right, bandits coming from the left, and up the middle, you might be scrambling all over the place, too, and trying to process some stuff because you have no time. So all due respect to the quarterback position and to his defense, you have to consider the source when that conversation starts happening. And for me, I think he's doing good. I think he's in a great place. He's on the right type of a team, have the right head coach, and in the right environment that will allow him to get better as time progresses in that new system to where it'll be tailored around him. And I think we'll see him playing better ball as the weeks go by.
All right, Cordell, it's New England on Sunday. Are you one of these Steelers alums who thinks you got screwed over by Spygate? You look back on 01, you say we got screwed over because they were cheating sons of guns?
Hey, man, I tell you what, God bless their heart if they were.
Are you convinced they were? If you were to take a lie detector test, would you say they knew your plays and stuff?
The lie detector test will say something remotely close to they knew what the heck was going on. Because I'm going to tell you, if every time I made a check, and that's not making an excuse of why we lost, because, I mean, I turned the football over, special teams did some stuff that put us behind. So there's a lot of things we could talk about that caused us to lose that game or that could have helped us win if we didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say this. When I made checks or whatever the case, we changed so much stuff up to where when we made some checks or whatever it was we did, they knew exactly where to go. That was unbelievable.
And how often would that happen when you would make a check like that? A team knew exactly what you were going to do, Cordell, in a game.
They didn't know. They wanted to figure out, but they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, they had it down. And you know what? The better team ended up winning that day. They took advantage of all those opportunities that, you know, the flaws and the issues that we had, turning the ball over, not getting the first downs. Whatever it was, we weren't doing well enough to keep ourselves on the football field. They took advantage of it. I hear this story about Spygate. You know, it went on to the Rams game. You start hearing. It's just a lot of conversations around that that cause you to assume that this team was cheating. All I'm going to say is this. This is a game that will forever be remembered, the Steelers versus the Patriots, to where that conversation will be had every time they play. For the, probably the rest of this battle. Like this battle's life, this will be talked about for a very long
time. Do you think less of Belichick because of it?
Hey man, I mean that's gamesmanship, right? Let's just say it's gamesmanship. I mean he used it to the best of ability.
Was everybody else trying to do it? Like did you know that the Steelers at any point were trying to get whatever edge they could?
Maybe some teams weren't good enough to figure it out. You know, I guess Bill Belichick figured it out, and you know, lo and behold, here it is. He's gone off and won so many championships. So, you know, sometimes you got to be careful, right, with that, because if you go to so many Super Bowls and you win so many Super Bowls, at some point in time, you got to say the guy's really just that good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point in time, you have to say it. Well, I'm going to say Bill Belichick was just that good, honestly.
That might be past tense, Cordell, because he's got a defensive coordinator calling his offense now with Patricia.
Yeah, they did not look good last week,
What the heck
Cordell.
Is going on there, man? Have
awful
you seen
offensively.
That?
Hey man, that sound like they have some big problems. Sound like for them, I don't know what the heck is going on. That sound like a New England problem. We need for them to continue those issues.
Agreed.
So we can get this dub this weekend. I'm just saying, if those are problems, if they sound like they're issues or woes that they may have, I mean,
so,
from the standpoint of what's the right or what's the conservative or the traditional way you go about having guys making calls or whatever as a coordinator, if that's an issue. You know,
got to take advantage of it.
Good for us at the end of the day. Good for us. Yeah, I mean, we love that.
Cordell,
those issues so Mitch can get another win.
Did you know that this is the first time they've played a 1 o'clock game between the Patriots and Steelers since 98?
Really?
Yeah, since you played the Patriots in 98. Now, I'm not bringing that up because you guys lost. I'm bringing it up because there's something that happened in that game that we learned about last hour that I wanted to see if you remembered. Apparently, late in that game, a piece of the stadium fell onto the field. Do you remember that? Like a big, giant cinder block fell onto the field. Do you remember that?
Not like the actual playing surface. It just fell onto, like, the warning track or whatever.
Like the side. Do you remember that?
Well, you know, for those who don't know what stadium he's talking about, we're talking about Three Rivers, correct?
Yes.
The old stadium, yes. So Three Rivers was a concrete stadium, for those that are young and don't know. It was a concrete stadium, and over time, you know, there was a lot of decaying, if you will, or wear and tear, whichever you want to call it, and it just started, you know, coming apart. And that's what got us, obviously, over time into a Heinz Field and at that time, and caused us to get a new stadium. But with that, yes, I did hear that there was some pieces of concrete falling out of the air.
Yeah.
And that was I heard that about the Cincinnati Stadium because this stadium was just like ours back in that time.
Yeah.
I heard
also,
there was concrete falling from theirs too.
Also the first time they played since that game in 98 without Ben or Brady. Being
that's
involved
wild.
In the game.
That's wild.
Yeah,
that part of it.
I know. So. I mean, I remember last time we played. I think it was Drew Bledsoe. We played in the old Foxborough Stadium. That stadium. Ugh.
You guys came back and won that game.
Beat them down, fellas. Got home field advantage throughout, bro. Late in the game.
Yep.
Making big plays.
I still remember iconic Cordell Stewart Patriots play is in that 7-6 rock fight in the playoffs. You going down the sidelines for the only touchdown crazy. Of the game, man, was an unbelievable moment.
Now, see, I mean, and I'll say this. You know, most would say that was an ugly game. They suck. They're not good. When you win, you win. Who cares? We advanced in the playoffs. That's what this thing is about, guys. Listen, and I hope you guys can understand when I say this, because this is not a love affair for Mitchell Trubisky. It's just understanding the game and how complex it can be.
Well, that's why we have you on, Cordell, because we can't say those things. We need you to say them as a former quarterback of the Steelers.
I think you give us a perspective of a guy that's actually in the battles here and has been in the battles.
I appreciate that. And some of those battles were pretty tough, but, you know, we prevailed that time. And sometimes we didn't. But in this case, for Mitchell Trubisky, we want to see him do well, because the better he does, the further we can go, and the more that Kenny Pickett can learn from when it comes to whether it's those good decisions, bad decisions. But as long as we keep winning, that keeps everything kosher in the city of Pittsburgh for the guy number 10, Mitch Trubisky.
Hey, Cordell, last thing. So our producer, Donnie, is a season ticket holder. And
Donnie!
It's the first home game, so he's been distracted all show. He's been producing us, but he's also been thinking about his tailgate for Sunday. And he's on a text chain with all his buddies, and they're coming up with what they're going to do for the tailgate, who's bringing what. If Cordell Stewart shows up at a tailgate, what's he looking for? What is the food or drink that gets Cordell Stewart, that gets Slash, excited about a tailgate?
Well, you got to have hot dogs, of course. You know, I don't know if you call them hot dogs, or what's the other one that looks like hot dogs?
Bratwurst.
There you go. There you go.
Or kielbasa.
It's all the same, right? You know, you got to have some baked beans out there.
Okay.
Baked beans out there. You know, you got to have some chicken, you know, whether it's some, you know, what is that turkey leg, that stuff that you can buy from some of the fairs that's really so. You got to have some of that stuff out there. You got to have some beer out there, some Bud Light. Some Coors Light. I'm from Colorado. I played ball in Colorado. So you got some Coors Light out there. You know, you got to have a little bit of Mountain Dew and, you know, Dr. Pepper or Coke or two here and there.
Okay.
You know, some libations for the adults. You know, be careful because there's some kids out there. You know, you don't want to get too excited.
Okay.
And what's the little beanbag game you got out there?
Cornhole.
Cornhole.
There you go, baby. You know, and you can do, hey, what's the other one where you're playing like you're playing tennis over the net, but it's the little rubber little thing with the little net on the back of it.
What do you got? Donnie's going to jump on here. What is it, Donnie?
Cordell, I also want to mention that the lot that my buddies and I tailgate in, there is a guy or group of guys that set up pretty much a lifetime supply of Crown Royal, and they give out free shots every 30 minutes or so.
What do you think of that?
Crown Apple? They got Crown Apple?
They got all the different flavors.
I'm into Crown Peach right now, Cordell. That's my go-to. I'm a Crown Peach man.
The peach is pretty good. Vanilla, Crown Apple, and peach are about as good as it gets. And guess what? Drop some ginger ale inside of it.
Okay.
What is going on with this Crown Apple? This is like a phenomenon that I'm late to the party on.
Yes, you are.
Crown Apple with the ginger ale, bro. Seagram's ginger ale. Drop that in there. Drop about 3 or 4 cubes of ice inside of it, bro, and have you a good time.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to drink. I'm going to call it the Cordell. I'm going to have a few on Sunday. All right,
Crown Apple. Crown Apple with some ginger ale and a few cubes of ice. And try it out. You'll see.
Pony, call it the Slash.
I will.
Yeah, call it.
I'll tweet it out.
Try it out, babe. Make it work.
We'll talk again next week. You're
Thanks,
the man, Cordell. Thank you.
Always, guys. Good luck. Take care.
You know what I'm surprised you didn't say, like, with the tailgates? Cordell, Louisiana, New Orleans guy by birth, went to high school down there. I'm surprised we didn't get any Cajun specialties.
I have a theory on why he's saying some of the things about Trubisky.
Yeah.
He is, regardless of where you came down on Cordell and how he played here, no one would argue that the guy's talents were incredible. As a runner, obviously, you've seen that. Everyone's seen the Hail Mary throw against Michigan.
Pure arm strength was
through the roof. I think there's part of him that might think, look, if I was asked to play in a conservative offense because we had Bettis and we had a defense and we won games that way, like, you do the same thing with Mitch Trubisky to win.
Well, that's why
you sacrifice your own ability. Like, yeah, you're great, but if it's in the team's best interest to really scale it back, you do that in the name of winning, and that's kind of what I heard in that interview from him.
That's why I don't know if it sounded clear, but that's what I was getting at with that very first question. His first team, they scored a lot of points because they had a lot of dynamic pieces, he being one of them, but I would imagine at some points Bill Cowher probably wanted to rein him in.
Yeah.
He also surprises me as a guy who had his physical gifts and could do some of the things he could do. He just sounded like when he was a player, he said, that's how the Steelers play. Like, a lot of deference and respect to the way they wanted to play football.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I just think that if I was going to hang my hat on something to move forward with, it's what's the last thing we put on tape? Mm. The last thing we put on tape was driving down the field to give ourselves a chance. Mm. And so, you know, I think that's really something that you can to hang your hat on. We got the win.
Yeah.
And we found a way to win it at the end when we had to drive.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger from the Footballin' podcast and Spence agreed.
Spencer, the yes man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I actually, this is going to stun you. I actually am pretty interested to hear Ben's takes on this Footballin' podcast because it's the truest version of him. You're getting him what he wants out there, no filter, being asked questions in a very favorable environment. I could do without Spencer the yes man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's authentic Ben, though, because when they would win ugly and he would get criticized for it, like the time Jeff, he thought, led the witness in an update and put negative things in there after a win, he would get honest for it.
I mean, Ben is echoing basically what Cordell told us just now.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I think, you know, you and I exist in a different world than those guys. They are in there in the battles, and they really don't care. You know why? Because I think they look at what they do in a bad game where they still win. There is a base level of inherent confidence that every one of those guys has in their ability to be great that we sit here on the outside, we go, Mitch Trubisky intentionally threw a ball out of bounds, it seems, to George Pickens, etc. He'll never be good. He'll never put up big numbers. Mitch Trubisky doesn't think that about himself. Cordell didn't think that about himself. Ben certainly didn't. And in the two of the three cases, we're talking about two of the three best quarterbacks in team history.
So that answer from Ben did not surprise me, but I thought if you missed the Footballin' podcast, it would be nice to just let people hear
a nice tether
what
to Ben.
What Ben's takeaway was from offensive performance. Like, hey, the last thing you did
is what matters.
Right. Like, you finished. It's like you shot. He loves golf.
You shot 100, but you birdied the last two holes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One that keeps you coming back in golf is the way we describe that. Did you watch the whole podcast or listen to the whole podcast again?
No.
Why not?
Because I kind of picked through it. I didn't sit through like the beer tasting.
Can we do a super cut? Can we do a super cut of Spencer, the host, saying mm-hmm and yes, and just kind of stitch that together for a future show?
Yeah.
I cannot handle that, man.
Yeah.
Why does he need
he has to
do
it?
That?
He has to. Because you're in the man's basement. He picked you as his podcast partner because you're there to set him up.
But you
that's his whole gig.
But once he's answering the questions and he's in a good answer, you don't have to interject every, like, slight pause with, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do that on this show with you, but that's because we've done a show together for years, and it's 4 hours long.
Well, maybe him and Spence just have incredible chemistry.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a test.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.